So we just finished up the study of the prayer life of Moses. Now we want to examine the prayer life of Joshua. And tonight what we're going to focus on is essentially his time of preparation for leadership, that we recognize he didn't just appear on the scene in Joshua out of nowhere, that he has a history, that he showed himself faithful, and that is a big reason why the Lord chose him to take Moses' place in leading the people into the promised land. But we want to get kind of a picture, because we can think of it, we can see a person at a point of maturity, at a point of leadership, a point where God's blessing them and using them. But we also want to learn, how did they get to that point? It doesn't just all of a sudden happen. That there's a relationship that's developed between them and God, a devotion. And we see with Joshua that he spent time ministering unto Moses, and that was probably a great part of, in many ways, of him learning to pray, learning to have a relationship with God. And it's very important. We see the first mention of Joshua in Exodus chapter 17. And begins in verse 8, it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." And so we see this first event that mentions Joshua, that for whatever reason he was given the responsibility of being the leader of the army to go out and fight. And we find with this kind of his first real experience with battle, certainly, like we realize later on, that he was a great general over the armies of Israel. But at this time, really, he has no experience. He has no nothing to draw from. You wonder why he was chosen necessarily, but he was. And you can think of it that he's at a point where he doesn't really know, he doesn't have an experience to draw from. He's been a slave most of his life. He maybe worked hard, but he's probably never trained to fight or anything like that. But we see with this that he did achieve victory, but it wasn't just because of his own ability, his own will. It was this picture we have of Moses when he held up his hand with the rod of God in his hand, that Israel prevailed, but when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. That really the battle was not Joshua's at all. It wasn't in his hands to win or lose. It was, we recognize, in God's hands. And we see this picture of Moses of holding up his hands, kind of gives an aspect of prayer, of intercession. And we see how Aaron and Hur supported him so he could continue to do that. And so through all of this, Joshua to recognize that if he was going to have victory, it wasn't going to be because of him. It was going to be because of God, that God was going to have to be with him. And we find throughout his history of coming into the land that the Lord blessed him, and it was those few times when he forgot that he needed God that's when he got into trouble. But for the most part, he relied upon the Lord's direction and guidance and power, and the Lord blessed him in that. So then we see Exodus chapter 24. Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and he, we see it speaks of Joshua again. It says, and Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. Moses went up into the Mount of God. That Joshua was basically Moses' servant, that he was there to meet his needs, that he went up with him to the top of the mountain and was kind of there waiting for him, and heard a sound of noise in the camp, and he told Moses, and it was his job to minister to Moses, to be a blessing to him. And in that time, I'm sure he learned a great deal about how to pray. And then, of course, we know what happened with the children of Israel, that they corrupted themselves while he was up on the mount. They came down, they saw the wickedness. Moses was interceding for them. And we see in Moses, or in Exodus 33 and verse 11, this is a verse we looked at before, but we were focusing on Moses when we read it. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. That it was this thought that he continued to spend this time before the Lord, seeking God's mercy, seeking his wisdom, that he didn't have the relationship that Moses enjoyed, but it's kind of the thought that it's like he wanted that. He wanted, it's the same as you have someone that's, you call him a rink rat, someone that's wants to be at an arena, wants to be skating and practicing, they'll be the first one there, first one on the ice, last one off the ice. That it's kind of the same idea with Joshua, that it was like he wanted to stay there, he wanted to be before the Lord and spend time seeking him in prayer. And so we see his heart is good, that he's a young man, he doesn't have all the answers, but he knows where to find them, and he's seeking the Lord, and he is to be commended for that. So then the next we see of Joshua essentially is in Numbers, where they need spies to go into the land, and so he is selected out of the tribe of Ephraim to be a leader amongst them, to be a spy. And we see that he was a man of faith, that all 10 of the other spies, they came back, they said, oh no, there's no way that we can enter into the land. It's too much for us. It's beyond our capabilities. But yet we see with Joshua that he was a man of faith. We see verse 6 of Numbers 14, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake in all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defenses depart from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And so we see that they are men of faith, that Joshua believed God could do it. He was absolutely certain of that. And we recognize that we need to have faith in order to be pleasing to God. We must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we see the Lord blessed him, and all the rest of that generation were not going to be able to enter the land, but we see verse 30 that Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun would be able to enter in, that it was because of their faithfulness. And of course, of the 12 spies, the 10 that gave the evil report were killed, but Joshua and Caleb lived still. And God was with them. And so then we see, as time progresses, of course, Moses makes the mistake of striking the rock when he's told to speak to the rock, and so the Lord says that he cannot enter into the land. And so we saw a bit last week of how Moses prayed. This is Numbers 27, verse 16. It says, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, and the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him." And so we see God chooses Joshua, that God has been preparing him. That it's something, you look at it, that Moses, it almost would seem to infer that he didn't recognize him to be the leader, but that's the one that the Lord chose. And he was going to put some honor upon him, and it was so that the people would obey him as they had obeyed Moses. And so he is chosen by God. He has a obligation, now a commitment or a great responsibility placed upon him. And we see it speaks of Joshua, Numbers 32, verse 12, both him and Caleb, that they have wholly followed the Lord, that this was a pattern. And we understand that with prayer, with having a relationship with God, that He's the God of heaven and earth, He's the Master, and Lord, we're His servants. Where He goes, we need to follow. It isn't something we go where we want and we expect Him to tag along and kind of keep us out of trouble. No, it's we go where He tells us and we do what He asks us to do. And that's what happened with Caleb and Joshua. They have wholly followed the Lord. It wasn't just half-heartedly. It wasn't that they followed Him in some ways and not in others. They were consistent. And that we understand. God blesses obedience, that our relationship with Him is strengthened by obedience, that it's what is our duty to do is to obey the one who created us, the one who redeemed us. And we need to do that. We need to follow Him, and as we do that, then we will be blessed. So then we see the charge in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 14, "The Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge." Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. So we see that he was given a charge. Verse 23, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." So the responsibility passed on to him. And I just want to look in Joshua chapter 1. Moses has passed on. It is now time for him to take the lead. And we see that God initiates, just as we saw with Abraham, with Moses, with others, that he's the one that initiates the relationship. He's the one that speaks to him. And he encourages him. He gives confidence to him that he will be with him, and he challenges him to be strong and of a good courage. And we see verse 7, it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." That he had to be courageous to do according to all the law of God that had been given to Moses. That he had to be faithful in that and obedient, not to turn to the right hand or the left, so God would prosper him. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And that is what the Christian life is about. It's not just knowing what to do or getting an idea, well, that's something that I need to work on. It's somewhere we observe to do, that we find out what the Scripture says, we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us by the Word, show us where we're lacking, show us things that we're doing that we need to stop, things that we should be doing that we haven't started yet, and we're strong, courageous, by the power of the Lord, we're able to do these things. We do what the Lord asks us, and the Lord blesses us. And so, we see that he begins, and the people say to Joshua, verse 60, and they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." And that was the thought, that they're going to be with him, they're going to follow his leadership. But it was a thought, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses, that they would follow him, but the focus was is that his relationship with God needed to be as such, that God would be with him, God would be blessing him. If he did not enjoy that relationship with God, then it would be something that they would have a hard time hearkening unto him. And that's what we recognize, any position of leadership, that where Paul speaks, "Be far as of me, even as I also am of Christ," that we have to be hearkening unto the Word of God, what he would have us to do, that we can't expect people to follow us if we're not willing to follow the Lord ourselves, that we need to lead by example. And we see that with Joshua, we'll see that more and more as we go through of the example he left. And he was faithful in all of that. So may the Lord continue to bless as we learn more of his prayer life in the week to come.